From 94.9 KUOW Seattle, I'm Jeremy Richards. In the U.S., 1 in 6 women suffer sexual assault in their lifetime. Chances are that someone you know is a survivor of sexual abuse. But many of the victims don't speak out. Ellie Camaro has been speaking out for many years now. She is a survivor of sexual assault, and she spent 12 years in Seattle working with other women who had been assaulted. But dealing with sexual violence is something she thought she would leave behind when she went to Tanzania in East Africa. She initially went to Tanzania to make a film about her family's heritage. Ellie Camaro's father is from Tanzania. Her mother is Korean. And for a long time, Ellie just accepted her multicultural identity. Her main focus was on activism. But after many years of working to help others, Ellie started to reflect on who she really was.
I'd been working in the domestic violence movement for about 12 years, and I was feeling really burnt out. I was ready for something completely different. And I had this idea of making this film about my Chaga cultural heritage. The reason it came about was I was starting to talk to my partner, Tom. We were starting to have these conversations about having a family. And I was struggling with, how am I going to share my Chaga cultural heritage with my kids when it feels so hazy to me? And so I had the privilege of going back there every other summer when I was growing up. But I know that I'm not going to have access to those same resources and the ability to do that with my kids. And so I was struggling. How am I going to make this part, this most remote part of our family, real for our kids?
Ellie was also trying to make Chaga culture real for herself. The Chaga identity actually refers to all of the people living on Mount Kilimanjaro. That's where Ellie's father was born and raised. But the people called Chaga actually have many different dialects, rituals, and customs. So for Ellie, most of what she knew about her father's homeland was based on the stories her father told her.
I had my own ideas about this culture that I was going to go find. I was hoping that it would be rich and vibrant and the songs and dances would be alive and I'd be able to capture that on film and share it with my kids. I was hoping that stories about folklore and spiritual practices and traditional healing practices would be something that I could capture on film and preserve and then really have it to show my kids. This is a part of who you are too.
Before Ellie went back to make her film, she had only gathered fragments of the Chaga culture. When she and her husband got married, for example, Ellie did research to learn about wedding rituals in Tanzania.
I found a transcript. It described this very elaborate exchange of beers between families. And I thought, okay, you know, like that's something we can do. That's something we can pull into our ceremony. That'll be fun. And I got the intention behind the exchange. And I talked to my dad about it, and he explained a little bit more to me. So I felt that this would be something that we could bring into the ceremony and have people participate in.
For Ellie's wedding ceremony, her friends brewed banana beer, and Ellie and her husband each drank from special gourds. They then passed the gourds to their in-laws as a sign of good faith. But when Ellie Camaro went to Tanzania to make her film, she learned that this festive ritual wasn't the whole story.
Of course, now after going back to Tanzania and hearing the wedding stories, in reality, I was left thinking, well, what was that exchange of beers really all about? It was an exchange of beer in exchange for what?
Ellie's aunts, her father's sisters, live in Tanzania. So she asked them about their wedding experiences.
And then I started hearing these stories from the women about their experiences, their rites of passage, going through female circumcision, or some would say female genital mutilation. And once they went through that rite of passage, then they were fit to get married. And my one aunt was telling me about how she was, I don't know, she must have been about 15 or 16, getting ready for a party at her brother's house. And on her way back, she was going home and she was going to get changed and ready to come to the party. She was pulled. Her sarong that she was wearing was ripped off of her and wrapped around her neck many times. And she was pulled into these bushes where she fought and she fought and she fought. And she was getting cut up and there were thorns and she was struggling. And the man who'd pulled her into the bushes ended up sexually assaulting her. He raped her. Then he pretty much said, now that you've done that, I guess you're mine. And my aunt, she was taken back to his place, and my uncle and my grandfather were brought in to talk about what had just happened, and they made their negotiations, and my aunt threatened to run away. She tried to run away, and her brother and her father were the ones who went out, and they captured her, and they brought her back to her now husband, and that was now to be her life. And she bore her first child, and that was her life. And the thing that was shocking to me was not only did I not have any idea that this was happening, but every woman that I talked to and asked about, how did you get married? Can you tell me about when you got married and what that was like? In my own research, I had read about this long, elaborate 2-week ceremony, the grooming of the both parties, and none of the women had that story to share. They all had their own version of this same horrible story. I was totally blindsided. I didn't see it coming.
Ellie says she didn't tell the women that she was also a survivor of sexual abuse, but she thinks her sensitivity to that trauma helped her ask the right questions and stay attentive to the women's feelings.
It was very surprising to me that that would be the time when they would choose to open up and share these stories. I had never heard any of these stories before. My mother had never heard any of these stories before. That would be the moment that they would choose to open up and share it with me when I was sitting with microphones and my camera. I was amazed. I think part of it was, one, because I asked them point blank without knowing. I just asked them, what was your marriage story? And not realizing the noise around that, the trauma that surrounded that and what that meant. I just asked them because I was thinking I was going to be hearing, you know, stories about trumpets and celebrations and beer, and I got something very different. So I think one thing was that I just asked. And once these stories started coming out and then I was going in search, I think my own experiences as a survivor and having spent the last 30 years unpacking that trauma and coming to a new understanding of what it means to have had that experience as part of my overall story. And then also working together with other survivors in the work that I'd been doing, it prepared me to show up and bear witness to these women's stories and just make the space for it and to feel comfortable with the silence that surrounded it and just give them the space to grieve, which I don't think they'd had until that moment.
Ellie found kinship with her aunt's Chaga culture. As a survivor, as a counselor for recovery, and as an activist for women's rights. And that became the focus of her documentary when she went back to Seattle. But she realized that the revelations about sexual assault would reflect poorly on her father's culture. She didn't know if her father knew about the secret ritual. And she was worried what her father would think when she made a film about it.
I decided to sit down with my parents one last time and do a follow-up interview where I asked them these questions. And my mom's responses were all pretty much exactly what my responses were, kind of shock and never heard these stories. My dad had a harder time answering the questions that I was asking him. Basically, did you know that this was happening? This was the reality of the women in the family. And what are your thoughts on it? And I don't think I was prepared for what he said or how he said it. Now, with a little bit of time and a little bit of distance from that interview, I can appreciate that I was probably the last person that he wanted to have that conversation with. His response was more defensive. He had a really hard time acknowledging that what the women had experienced was a legitimate traumatic harm. And I think there are probably many, many reasons why that was the case, but it was not the response I was expecting. It actually launched me on a whole different path with the film, my conversation with my dad, realizing that my dad has managed to find ways to give back to the community in ways that I never could, I never will be able to. And he's done incredible development work within the community, grassroots stuff. And I realized that my path in terms of healing with the family is good. It looks different. And I actually have my own skills to bring to bear on helping my family make sense of this cultural practice that is harmful to women.
you set out to make a film about Tanzania in part to understand your own identity and heritage. And now that you've come back with a different idea of what that means, what do you take away about who you are and where you're from?
I spent a lot of time thinking about the answer to that question in relation to my daughter. Maybe not so much in terms of myself. Man, what I find as I'm working through this film is that I am so much more Chaga than I thought. I'm so much more Chaga than I thought. And things that are personality, I feel like, but just even how I work through emotions and how the whole thing around secrecy and trying to protect people from the truth and only sharing with them the amount that I think that they'll be able to handle. And I mean, there's just aspects of how I've seen this particular secret play out in my family that I realize I've internalized a lot of that in how I share, how I choose to share about myself with other people. Chagas also have a desire to make big speeches all the time. And I've had to resist that urge as I'm making my film to make, this is my soapbox and now's the time when I make my big speech. And so it's just, there's aspects of Chaga culture, again, the good with the bad, like that I realize it's in me. And I've gone out in search of what does it mean and what does it look like and what are the steps and what are the songs. And I realize that, yeah, that is all part of culture. And then there's also the part of culture that is just in your bones. It's in your DNA. It's in your makeup. It's in how you were raised and the culture that you're raised in. It's in the culture of the house, like in our home. And so I just realized that I'm a lot more Chaga than I realized. And there's so much about Chaga culture that I don't know.
I'm a lot like you. Sing confusion.
Ellie Camaro is a Seattle-based activist and filmmaker. Her documentary in progress is called A Lot Like You. For more information, visit KUOW.org and search for the keywords Tanzania or documentary. I'm Jeremy Richards, 94.9 KUOW, Seattle.